Peter, do you have any concerns at all that some kind of a organism, virus from another planet could hit here? Of course, I think it already has been here. But could hit here and create just a disaster?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's already happened. And because my research partner in many things, the guy I go to Antarctica with, the guy who discovered Snowball Earth, Joe Kirschvick at Caltech, has shown to my satisfaction that there's no way that Earth life evolved on the Earth, but it had to have come from Mars. We talked in the last hour about this idea that you need ribose. Ribose comes from a desert. There were no deserts on the early Earth. The early Earth was entirely water-covered. Joe was part of the team that studied the Allen Hills meteorite, and he showed quite convincingly that those little chains of magnetites are probably bacterial in origin. He's also studied panspermia, the possibility of life going from planet to planet, and showed that all you need to be is about a third of an inch under the cover of a rock, and cosmic rays don't get you. So spores of viruses, spores of bacteria certainly can do this. And finally, one of my PhD students is studying the last bastion of life unstudied, the high atmosphere. He sucks stratospheric air out of the air using U-2 spy planes and identifies the various microbes. And we have on the west coast of the U.S., you too, George, we have Chinese dust falling all over us. And the biggest scary part about this is that we could be picking up smallpox and other viruses from China that dump right on us.
Amazing. What about the radioactivity from Japan?
Oh, it got us. It got us.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I ought to do a whole show on the upper atmosphere life, because it's fascinating what's happening up there, how much life is up there, and how with deforestation in Asia, more and more of Asian microbes are falling all over we on the West Coast.
Okay, let's take some calls here, Peter. This hour with you is going to blaze by, and then I want to ask you a question, so tuck it behind your head about why Earth was laden with so much water, where it all came from. Let's go to Kevin in Cleveland, Ohio, first-time caller. Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Welcome to the program, my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George. I was going to ask Peter if who the leading researcher in the world today that's, you know, trying to put it all together, you know, the aliens and the stuff from the comets and all of that, you know, the work that Whitley Strieber's doing and the late John Mack, and, you know, just who was the world's leading researcher on trying to bring all this together?
Well, I bet you don't have to go very much farther than your radio to be with a person who probably knows as much as anybody, and that's George. George
right.
has had the access to everybody on this show, including all the various scientists. I put my money on him. If you want to, just as a great summary of the knowledge out there, is going to be George.
And what you can do, Kevin, and here's a little secret for everybody. Just go to our search engine at coasttocoastam.com. Up there, type in topics that you're looking for, and it will spit out all kinds of information, websites, guests, you name it. And it's all cataloged for you that way. Peter, where did we get so much water? How did it come to this planet? How did it start?
Well, that's the best question of all, and it's still really unknown. The party line is it came from comets that we just got blasted by Oort cloud comets. This heavy bombardment that was from 4.2 to 3.8 billion years ago was all the leftover flotsam and jetsam. And as you go past Jupiter, we have something called the snow line. And out there, there's a lot more water than there is in here. I mean, look at Europa. It's got a 100-mile thick ocean. Come on, there's so much water out there. Well, a lot of the comets are just big ice balls, and we were hit over and over and over. Don Brownlee.
By big comets. They'd have to be big.
Oh, there's some of these were the size of Texas, and we have these things. Balls of ice the size of Texas coming in.
Okay, well, if a ball of ice the size of Texas, in terms of its entire, you know, ball-looking size, that would be pretty big. How much water would that be, though, if it hit in an area where part of the ocean is? How many comets would have to fill up all the oceans we've got?
Well, we're talking about a way you can think about it is the equivalent of Earth ocean. So we have one Earth ocean now, and early in the process of the Earth coming together with all the heat, we lost maybe a whole Earth ocean, but we may have gained another whole Earth ocean just from the comets. So we've lost a lot, but we've gained a lot more from the comets. But here's what's scary, George. People have done some really complex computer simulations and have run scenarios of our solar system forming over and over and over. And only about 1 out of 10 of the scenarios do you get planets in the sort of the order they are that we have them, the small inner planets and the large outer planets. It could be all dispersed in all different order. And getting water as much as we had is a low probability. I mean, it all goes back. We are a rare earth.
Yeah, we sure are. Okay, more calls. Dana in Manchester, New Hampshire, east of the Rockies. Hi, Dana.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, Dana, thank you.
First time caller. I was thinking about what most mainstream scientists have been saying about the Earth and Earth changes and everything, and I don't know. The thing about science is they don't look at the other aspects of it. Like, what about Lindsay Williams and when he talks to the elite about what's coming up?
Mm-hmm.
The government moving the CIA to Denver. What's up with that? What about the New World Map Edgar Cayce predicted, where the East Coast, West Coast, Cali, Midwest, et cetera, they're all going to be underwater? I think it was a guy about, I think it was a month ago on Coast to Coast, said about Project Pegasus.
Yes.
When he went ahead at 2013, that he saw Washington, D.C. under 6 feet of water.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, stuff like that.
Peter, let's get your take on this. The predictions of Edgar Cayce, the late American prophet, his map of what North America would look like was staggering. There's no California. Some of the East Coast is gone. Is it possible?
Well, here's what's possible. If we melt all of Antarctica and all of Greenland, then yes. What you lose the entire Great Valley. The entire world looks totally different. How do you melt all that ice? There's just no conceivable way to do that in less than a few thousand years, even if we heat the planet through any sort of warming, any way it happens. It's going to happen, though, because we know that the sun keeps getting bigger and bigger, and there is that inevitability that this ice on this planet will leave. So I can absolutely tell you without any reserve at all that that map will happen. The question is when.
Well, that's scary, because when it happens, we're talking about a disaster of biblical proportions, Peter.
Well, hopefully we have enough time to engineer with it and to deal with it. Look, the Dutch have taken a very good approach to these things. Their point is, why do you worry about cities being flooded and then you have to keep moving them and moving them again? They're starting to build giant floating blocks of buildings that will just ride with it. And although that horrible movie Waterworld was a joke, in some ways we really can see where coastal communities just start being portable. I mean, this long, we'll have centuries and centuries of sea level rise, and people will get really tired of building a city and then moving it over and over and over.